So Candace Campo, tell me a little bit about why you wanted to be involved in this campaign.
You know, I've been following the issue and concern related to oil and the potential oil spill that could occur with the increased traffic coming from the Arctic down south through the waters, but particularly the Salish Sea. And I really felt compelled that I need to take a stronger position and be a bigger voice related to this issue. And this opportunity came available to me through Greenpeace, and I actually took it without hesitation, even though it means I'm going to be away from my business for 10 days, and we're in our initial startup for this season.
So it's obviously something that means a lot to you to take it on at this moment.
It truly does, and the opportunity arose, but also there was an oil spill in English Bay. That's exactly where I operate, and there was an inability to respond to it. So we know that the issues that people are raising regarding the potential environmental degradation from an oil spill is very much real.
And we know a lot of attention is being focused on this issue in recent weeks, and especially in terms of Shell's permission to drill in the Arctic. And, you know, when we think of this issue, we think of Arctic peoples. But, you know, the Sechelt First Nation, it's southern BC, not too far from Vancouver. Tell us a little about how even communities in more southern areas can have a concern about Arctic drilling and how it might impact their communities.
Well, for ourselves, we know that the ongoing use of oil as a source of fuel is continuing, perpetuating global warming or climatic change, which affects all citizens of, you know, North America and the world, and including my small little community. But equally important, our most direct impact would be the transport of oil down to the coastline through British Columbia to the United States as it is slated for. That if we were to have an oil spill in the Salish Sea, that could very much impact my own community.
So it's, and maybe that's an aspect that we don't talk a lot about, is that even if there's drilling in the Arctic, it has to be transported. There's equipment, and it can affect communities all along the line.
Truly. And we know that 20 years ago when the Exxon Valdez spill occurred, that those environmental impacts are still being experienced in a negative way today. So as of yet, we as industry and people do not have the capacity to effectively deal with an oil spill.
And I wanted to just ask you my next question, and I'm sort of asking this to your entrepreneurial side and as a businesswoman, but we hear a lot in the Arctic about how hard it is to find jobs, how there's so little development in terms of infrastructure, high costs. And, you know, some communities talk about how when there are these projects in the north, resource development projects, it brings jobs, it brings education opportunities and employment opportunities. And I'm wondering if that's a side of it that you understand, or how you kind of, in your own mind, this tension between needing to develop these regions, give these communities opportunities, with these sort of environmental risks.
Yeah, I do. Very sensitive to the matter. Even our own community on the South Coast, where there are a few more opportunities, it's always a concern to provide adequate and meaningful employment for your community members. I myself continue to pursue ecotourism, Aboriginal tourism being in its infancy development, and as a result, I experience delays in acquiring an income because of the seasonality of it. So in no way would I try to minimize any challenge that the Northern First Nations communities have in acquiring employment for their people. But I also know that for all of us in BC or the Arctic, acquiring employment related to the oil industry is a catch-22.
Candace Campo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time. Have a great day.